Tonight, it is my great pleasure to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Cooch and Victor Daniels. They are both readers who have given many thousands of readings. Victor taught psychology at SSU for 4 decades. Together, they wrote these books, Paro d'Amour, which you see right here, the subject of, at least in part, of what we're going to be doing here tonight, and also Matrix Meditations, a 16-week program for developing the mind-heart connection. And, of course, they've also separately authored other work as well. We are delighted to have you guys back here. It's going to be an unusual evening in the sense that they're going to give a brief talk about their own work with these books that you see here and around and about those. But also we'll then break for tea and some brownies that I just made a couple of hours ago. And then we'll have reading opportunity for individuals to have readings with each one of our speakers and presenters tonight. So thank you so much for coming to Many Rivers.
Our pleasure.
On Valentine's.
Well, happy Valentine's, everybody, and may Eros bless you all with fulfillment of your heart. Silly us. We thought we were just going to be doing actual reading, so we haven't really prepared a talk, but you're free to ask questions and we'll do our best. I thought maybe just a little explanation about the tarot. There's many beautiful tarot decks here, and I don't know how many of you are readers. Are any of you readers?
Yeah, play around.
Play around play a little around. Bit. This is the most popular deck. It's the Rider-Waite deck. It was actually painted by Pamela Coleman Smith, who never gets any credit, as often women take the hind seat, the back seat. But here I am talking, taking the front seat. But this is probably the book that has the most, if you're trying to learn, it has 20 books that will talk about this deck compared to every other deck that might only have like one deck and one book to talk about it. So this is really popular because there's a lot of people who use it. And then if you know anything about Aleister Crowley, he was a famous crazy.
I've forgotten, which is that the deck that we used?
Yes, and this is also the deck that we use in our book.
For the illustrations. We have just black and white illustrations, but each card is illustrated
in the book. This is just a lovely deck at the Robin Wood. It's just a delightfully illustrated, beautiful deck. And the Thoth is more complicated, and if you're not into complex symbols, I don't recommend it for beginners, but it's a beautiful deck, and it has an incredible history steeped in all kind of lore, including sex magic and other things, to make it very intense. But anyway, they have so many good decks here. I just thought I'd point out several that I know are really popular in the tarot community. And so I'm Cooch, and that's my partner Victor. And yes, we wrote those books together.
And by way of introductions, actually, Cooch has indeed done many thousands of readings. It's she works for entertainment agents and works for corporations and private parties, as well as having individual clients. And over many decades, she has done more readings than you can imagine. I have not done nearly so many. I have done less than 1,000, probably. Maybe only a few hundred. She will occasionally, a couple of times or 4 times a year, she'll take me along with her when they need a couple of readers to one of her things. But we come from very different places. We come from, like, she comes from the esoteric place. She has a master's degree in psychology and is familiar with the tarot, and not just familiar with, but an expert in the tarot, astrology, palmistry, all of those things, as well as psychology. My background is primarily psychological, so we drew on both those backgrounds in a rather integrated way in putting together this book. And I'll read you a few passages from it so that you'll see how we've done that. On the table here, I put out my two favorite decks. There are so many decks you can hardly imagine, and just many, many incredibly beautiful decks. Anyone can find one to please them. One that I used for a number of years was the the Arcus Arcanum Tarot, rare in this country, made by a European cartoon artist and a European tarot expert. But you can see the kinds of pictures that there are on that. And then the other one that I have up here is my own favorite deck, the one that I use primarily for readings myself, and it's called the Mythic Tarot. It's based on gods and goddesses of Greek mythology and stories and so on. And I have here spread out a few of the suit of cups has to do is centered around the myth of Eros and Psyche and uses it as a vehicle. So here you have the beginning, and then you have the six of cups, which is said to be the sexiest card in the deck, and the ten of cups. You see Eros and Psyche hand in hand there. So all of the cards of it are correlated with that myth. Here you have the two of cups with Psyche standing blindfolded and Eros behind her, and that just happens to be a deck that I like because I'm into the Greek philosophers and Greek mythology.
That was how we got a science-minded professor hooked onto the tarot. It's because I found a Greek mythology deck, and it was Greek mythology is one of his favorite things. And it's like, oh look, you can have some cards that play with the different myths, and you can do your research about what was happening way back then. So all of a sudden there was like something that he could really relate to in the shape of tarot cards, and we got him hooked. And then it was just kind of a jump to the next deck of cards, and then every birthday and Christmas, oh, I have a deck. So he's been forced into it through love.
No, kicking and screaming. I'd like to read you a bit from this book. The nicest thing that we've heard about this was from we go to tarot conferences and to other mystical conferences and to regular psychology conferences and psychotherapy conferences. We go to a lot of conferences.
A mix. It's a real strange mix.
And
we don't tell one that we're at the other because they wouldn't like. The pagans wouldn't understand the gestaltists, and the gestaltists would like, oh no, pagans. So it's like,
yeah, in fact, I was instrumental in getting the Association for the Advancement of Gestalt Therapy to do its first bilingual conference in Puebla, Mexico, this last year. And that it was attended by Gestalt Therapy is very popular in Mexico and Latin America. And so that led to the establishment of the Association for the Mexican Association for the Advancement of Gestalt Therapy. And they're having their very first conference in Guadalajara this summer. So that's,
and I'm teaching a tarot class.
Yeah, right. She's doing a tarot thing. She did one in Puebla as well. Before I start, yes.
I want to get my turn in. This is like watching like how do people work together try to kill each other. But because it's Valentine's and it was written up that we would be answering questions about love, if you can be thinking of questions that you'd like to ask in relation to your emotional situation, or if you don't have them, no pressure to come up with one, but if you do, before you leave here tonight, we'll make sure you get at least one card to try to give you some insight into that question. And we can either do it privately or we can do it up here and we can share your question. So there's options, and we're kind of looking at doing something like that as well as reading. Yes?
I have two questions. One is, do you plan to do couple readings?
Yes, I can do couples readings. I'd be delighted to.
We can do that. We have, in fact, we have a spread in here which describes, which is specifically designed for couple readings.
Mm-hmm. And then my second question is, I've sort of, dabbled in tarot off and on over the years. I have a few decks. I have a really old deck, actually, that's French. I should have brought it with me to show you.
The Marseille?
I'm not certain. It's very old. Anyway, well, my question is what would you describe as at work when you're doing your reading of tarot? Is it an intuitive sense, or what's the power and the force behind a tarot card?
You said the word. It's the force. The force is behind doing readings, and however you align yourself. Victor comes at it from more of a psychological place, and I was trained in a mystical organization, and I come from more of a esoteric place. But I think the force for readings, it's what you take with you in life. So if you're a therapist, if you're a therapist, you're going to take what you know into your reading. Or if you are a Buddhist, you're going to take your Buddhist background and bring that into your readings. Or a pagan is going to come at it from a more mystical, pagan, alchemical direction. So the force is however you align your spirit. And you have to, well, nobody has to anything, but when you're doing readings, you're trying to call on your intuition to help figure out how to make the most sense of what the patterns from the cards and the archetypes, how they mix together. So I'm calling on my intuition to try to help me figure out, well, how is it going to make the most sense to you if I'm doing the reading for you versus if I'm doing the reading for you, because you have different lives and there's going to be a different flow of information. So that's where the intuition comes in.
Let me answer your question from a slightly different angle. That's that in doing that, you not only draw on your training and background, but you also draw on who you as an individual are, and what your capacities are. She has a highly unusual talent in that sometimes when she is
that's
giving,
why I bring them with me.
When she's giving reading,
I could never say that about myself. But yeah, it's like, no, I'm kidding.
Sometimes when she's giving a reading, she will sit and the person and close her eyes in a meditative kind of
state. You're going to create expectations, though. It's like,
oh no, I say sometimes. That's lots of times not. But there have been occasions on which she closes her eyes and she sees a picture, a visual picture in her mind of what is going on in a person's life, and she will describe that to them.
For people who are clairvoyant, I'm sure you are in here because you're interested in intuitive things or clairvoyant things. How many people here feel that they're intuitive? See?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, she can do that. One time she was doing a reading for a woman, and she described what she was doing a jewelry reading in, where was it? Hillsborough, I think. The one woman had a ring on, and she uncooched, looked at the ring, and said, I see a swing and a woman sitting in the swing and two little girls, described the rest of the scene. And the woman said, my God, that was my mother's ring. And I was one of the two little girls, and et cetera. And so that's a capacity that she has that she uses in her readings that I don't have.
Well, you have it, but you haven't developed it.
Well,
and you all have it.
Come on, this is my turn. You had your turn.
That'll be good.
I come in, I come from a place of, with my training in Gestalt therapy, I'm unusually sensitive to body language, to the sounds, the quality of a person's voice, to the nuances of their presence in front of me. So I rely on those kinds of cues and what the cards tell me, the interaction, always the interaction between the persons and the cards. One time we stopped in Berkeley and got a reading from street art from a young man who was doing readings on the street, and he knew a tremendous amount. So he gave a wonderful reading of the interpretations of the cards themselves, but with no connection to me, right? With no connection to me as a person. So every moment of a reading is always an interaction between what the cards say. Who the person is who's sitting in front of you, and what your particular capacities as you have developed them at that particular moment are. Can I read a few lines from the book? What I'd like to do...
Is he henpecked or what? This is like, you know, you're seeing the push and pull between two authors. This is how we work. But I was lead author for the Tarot book because it's been my life since I was 22. I started doing readings on Ghirardelli Square, the street artist. But for the Matrix Meditations, he was a lead author. And you have to believe the role totally just reversed completely because he took the lead and I was like henpecked. So because this is more my field, then I can push him a little more because I feel like I've done more. So that's why maybe I own my power more to talk about stuff. But you don't have to ask me.
However,
you're looking at
both
me like
books,
we're like horrible. I'm like a horrible
books.
Person to you.
Yeah. With both books, both of us have gone over every sentence and every line in it. So it's really the input.
It's a joint effort.
But I was going to tell you that with this book, we were at a conference. That's how I got into mentioning conferences. And one of the people there who was a well-known Tarot reader who had done readings for many years said, you know, I've got a whole shelf full of Tarot books at home. But this is the one I always go back to. This is the one I find most useful. We've got it set up so that the first third of it is about how to give readings. And I'll read you a little bit from that section. And then we've got a section of it on various different spreads and how to use the different spreads, including one spread that's designed specifically for couples, for doing couple readings. And you can do the couple readings with a couple that's present. I love doing readings when the couple is present, because then you get into the interaction, and it's almost like couples therapy or family therapy, the kinds of interactions that take place. And you can actually see the dynamics in play right there. But you can also do couples readings for someone who is not present. Okay, I want to know about, you know, how is it going to go with me and Rob? And so we'll put down the cards for her and the cards for Rob and the connections between them, and you can do it either way. And then most of the rest of the book is devoted to the individual cards. And we have, with each card, we have the romantic interpretation, the emotional interpretation, the sexual interpretation, and for the major, for the 22 cards of the major arcana, we also have a sexual play section, which is rather juicy and particularly appropriate for Valentine's Day. Okay, a few passages from the first part of the book. Here is a quotation that begins it. Reading the Tarot symbolically rather than literally does not predict a given future. Rather, it offers us opportunities to participate in the creation of a new and unpredictable future. For me, that's important, because I always tell people, I don't predict the future. I help you discover how to create the future that you want in readings. The Tarot is a tool to help you look into your soul and into the souls of others. It helps you see the potential for love waiting within and the forces that threaten it. It can also enhance your abilities to find love by showing you how to make better use of your personal strengths and your less developed qualities. You can use the cards to help you find a new lover or even lovers, or to deepen and enrich your relationship. Or, for that matter, you can use it to, if you're in a process of ending a relationship, you can use it to discover how to end the relationship in a calm and loving manner rather than a nasty manner. And that can be very important as well.
That's if you're lucky, though.
Yeah, well, you can at least try, and sometimes
but
it happens.
But that would take away from my business, because a lot of my business is because... Because breakups are so difficult, and I get a lot of calls from people when they're in desperate situations. So, but it would be nice if it made it easier for people to go through transitions of any kind.
A good way to interpret Tarot symbols is to free associate ideas with the picture, or let your client do so. Keep things simple. Let your mind and feelings be open and relaxed. Play with ideas. And let the card or one of its symbols trigger one word or phrase after another. Describe what you hear, see, or feel on as many different levels as you find appropriate. Use your senses, taste, smell, touch, and kinesthetically sense inside your body what each symbol is about and how you're responding to its message. And then we go into the various different ways of relating to the cards.
Can we ask if anybody has any questions about that?
Oh, sure. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Does anybody have any questions about Tarot in general? Okay. I was just checking.
I'd like to read for, oh, maybe about 4 or 5 minutes, and then open it to questions about everything that I had said from here.
Okay.
Or maybe less than that. That
go
okay?
For it. We'll
okay.
ask them.
One of the things that we do here is we provide we give unusual attention to how to deal with power struggles that people get into. So we
not that we ever get into any.
All right. So we talk about a little about the various different elements of the tarot that you can use. Numbers. When you put the central theme of a card suit and the symbols shown on the four suits, the swords, which represents the mind, traditionally in a tarot, it's associated with the thinking, conceptual mind, but I find it very important to draw people's attention to the fact that it can also represent your mental capacity for direct awareness. Wands, which represents kind of the will and initiative and moving forward, getting things done. Cups, which represent emotion. And what's our other one? Pentacles, which represents the material world, including work, jobs, getting out into nature, everything in terms of material being. The other things are more the mental and emotional realms. So when you put the central theme of a card suit, one of those four suits, and the symbol shown on the card, together with the qualities of its number, you immediately know something about any major or any minor arcana card you pick up. This makes interpretation easier than if you had to learn about each card individually with no guiding principles to connect them. Once you have a feel for the qualities that go with each suit, you'll have some understanding of the minor cards even without remembering all of the comments about every card in each suit. And so then we've got numbers, and for example, the number one has to do with beginnings, potential, creativity, and power. Number two has to do with polarity, splitting apart and coming together. Two is the number of intuition and the ability to see into the subconscious, qualities associated with the High Priestess. It shows the potential for a relationship, as one and one equals two. A couple, the pairing of two people whose hearts open to enable the development of the relationship. And so on. We go through each number like that, and then we go through other qualities like archetypes and colors and each of the elements you might find on the card. Let's see, just a couple of other things here.
So the symbols represent the elements. So the cups represent water. The wands represent fire. The element water corresponds with the signs, like astrological signs, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. So when you're looking at cards, you're looking at the potential to connect with each element. And water is our emotional, intuitive nature. Fire is our creative, fiery passions. Swords are the intellect, air. Air is intellect, the mind, power of the mind. And which one did I do? Swords, wands,
pentacles.
Pentacles, thank you. Pentacles is earth, and earth is like Taurus is earth, and what are the
Capricorn,
and which is
Virgo.
Yay, thank you. Our astrologer helping me out. So earth is things that are tangible, and you're walking on the earth, so being grounded, when you're grounded, that's an earth quality. Taking responsibility to keeping things tied down and having a strong foundation is an earth energy. Real estate. Anytime you want to play with money, money is a material earth plane goodie. So those elements are talked about in relation to the four different suits so that we can bring all the qualities of life into a tarot reading through the four elements.
And you can also go beyond a particular deck to use what you know of other decks. For instance, the typical tarot decks. In the minor arcana, with the four suits, have kings, queens, pages, and knights. But I have a Native American deck that instead of kings, it has fathers. Instead of queens, it has mothers. Instead of pages, it has daughters. Instead of knights, it has sons. Instead of the emperor and the empress, it has grandfather and grandmother. And often I'll find that it's very important. I mentioned that one of those connections, and it turns out to be to zero right in on something that's important to a person.
Now, since we're talking to people who might not have a lot of information about the cards, there are 78 cards, the four suits, and each suit has 14 cards. So there's 56 minor arcana cards. The four suits are called the minor arcana, and then there's 22 major arcana, and the major arcana are called the major trump or the trump, and they represent different archetypes. And one of my favorite archetypes, which I think I just...
Here's a bunch of major arcana cards right on the front.
Okay, well, I was just going to pull out my... Especially comes tonight for Valentine's. This is the lovers. So this is one that is really good for this evening. But the lovers corresponds with emotion, making good choices that will help us get more clarity about our direction in love and romance. And this is one of the major arcana. Magician is another major arcana. And magician is the power of the mind, or your ability to manifest. So if you're trying to do manifesting, you might want to take out a magician card out of your deck.
It's also the trickster.
No, the trickster is the fool. I thought the trickster was the fool.
Oh, well, our book says that the trickster is a magician.
Oh, we can argue about that later. So here we go. It's like, so if you have like a, 40 years of doing something. But, so if how people can work with cards, if you want to try to bring some quality into your life. If you take out a card like the magician, you go, well, I'm trying to manifest having better love relationships. So you might want to put these two cards on your dresser or on a table where you can see them when you're walking by. And magician is the power to manifest dreams through the wand. The wand is the will, and the will to manifest comes through determination and focus of your intellect, because the magician corresponds with the power of the intellect, but it goes through the magic of the wand to make something manifest. So you might try to say, okay, well, I'm trying to manifest a good relationship. So you put magician card out next to the lovers, you just go, I can do this, and you do positive affirmations, and you have like a visual clue, I can manifest a positive relationship. And it's just a way to work with cards if you're not trying to do readings. But there's lots of books that tell you about different ways to work with the cards. But that's a good one for people who are just trying to get comfortable with the deck, but they don't want to try to learn how to do readings. Or they want to play with a deck that somebody gave them, and it's like, what do I do with these cards? Well, take the pictures out and free associate. What do they say to you? Even if you don't have book knowledge of what 20 different authors have said about the meaning of that card, if you just play with the pictures on the card, it's like, for instance, I'm going to give you this card. What would this card, even without knowing what the card is, what would it mean to you? Or what are the symbols? Does it say something positive to you?
It speaks of feminine strength. She's holding the world in her hand.
Mm-hmm. So she's probably never seen this card before.
No, I have not.
No, but she's done a really good interpretation of the potential for a meaning or how she might read it. And that's the thing to know. If you want to play with cards, you don't have to have someone tutor you for 5 years before you can be qualified to read the cards. You just have to play with them yourself and say, oh, these are cool. I'm going to see what I can get from them.
No, you see what you see in it, or you see what the other person sees in it, and draw on that. Yeah, just a few more lines from this, and then maybe we can do a little more of what you just did of bringing out cards and having different people react to them.
Mm-hmm. Or you can do that, and I can do readings for people over at that table.
Intuitive insight is
that
it's
yeah.
best.
Should I start now?
So, Why don't you finish what you're reading, and then if people want, you know, we'll follow that with the...
Okay, then we'll break up, and you can do talking to the group, and I'll do individual readings. So that's how it's going to unfold.
We're kind of figuring this out as we came along. We thought
we're ad-libbing.
Right. We had a different conception as to how the evening was supposed. We thought we were supposed to just come and do individual readings. We didn't realize that we were supposed to do a shtick. And we walked in the door and saw the chairs all set up to do a shtick. And okay, so
normally we have a salsa dance that we do together, and we kind of like, you know,
yeah, baby.
But it's kind of like, well, we didn't practice because we thought it was going to be kind of sit down.
When with doing individual readings, there's quite a few of us here.
I'm good at trying to.
Just like
the readings are not
reading.
Going to be. They're going to be sample readings. They're not going to be full hour-long readings, obviously. But I'm pretty good at trying to focus on a couple cards to give you some insight about one question. So just like if I was going to an event, I try to, like, I'll have people standing behind me, faster, you have 300 people you have to read in 2 hours.
Yeah, corporate parties particularly, you know, you've got somebody who is making sure that all the entertainers are doing what they're supposed to do, and, you know, making little furious gestures. Look, you've got 20 people in line here, come on, let's see if you can move along a little faster.
It's so like taking blood out of a turnip.
We get to be expert at like 3 to 6 card readings, and there's not time in a situation. Like
so just
that.
Be thinking of your question, and I'll be trying to make sure that everybody gets a little something, and at some point Victor will stop leading and he can start doing readings. If there's not enough people that have gotten individual readings, we'll try to help everybody get at least a 1 or 2 card reading.
Well, before we break up and do that, and go into the different modes, let me to everyone here say just a couple of words about the other book that we have here, Matrix Meditations, that you can also glance at over here. And this is, how many of you are familiar with the ancient Chinese Book of Wisdom, the I Ching?
Victor, we're getting totally distracted and we don't have a lot of time, but...
Okay, I will do this
why
in
don't
two,
we do that, why don't
in
you
two
do
minutes,
that after,
I'll do this.
Why don't you do that after I'm doing readings and you have the group to yourself? Because I want to...
Oh, well, I was going to... But I wanted to tell everybody. I'll cut it down to 1 minute. The first part of the book is all about what it gives you a psychological explanation of what meditation is and how it works, of a sort such that you will not find anywhere else. I honestly believe that this is the best synthesis of meditation and psychology that you will find anywhere. And it's the structure of it, after that first part of the book, the rest of it has 65 cells that are analogous to the 64 hexagrams in I Ching, and you can open it to any of them. So it's very programmatic. It has called the matrix of consciousness, as we call it. You can access it by throwing coins in a manner similar to the I Ching, or drawing a deck from a deck of cards, or drawing a deck from an imaginary deck of cards, because you know what all the cards are anyway. So you can say six of hearts, and then you look at the table that we have here, and that will tell you what page to go to and what cell to look at.
So we've actually made it so it could be turned into an oracle.
Right. And,
because we're addicted. I'm addicted to
oracles. So I just opened this one by the other way, is you just open it to wherever your hand goes, and this one is cell 20, courage, facing fears. And each cell has first like a couple of pages of discussion of that phenomenon, courage and facing fears, and then it has a meditative technique that you can use, or an everyday life technique that you can use to actually do what's there. So nothing is just blah, blah, blah. Everything is a combination of a little bit of blah, blah, and a little bit, okay, you want to actually do something, you are communication, priorities, leveling, and tact. So we have some specific communication patterns that a person can use here, such as several comments can help you find out whether the other person is hearing you accurately. These include, perhaps I was unclear, let me say that differently. Please tell me what you hear me saying. I'm still trying to get clarity. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I'm aware that I just interrupted you. You were saying? So, well, very specific, usable things, and each one of the cells is like that. That's all.
That was our 5-minute commercial. Because it's Valentine's, I'm going to just do a really short 2-minute reading of one card, which is the Ace of Cups, because the Ace of Cups represents opening the heart to letting your passion alive in your life and opening your heart center more. So just a couple sentences to kind of show you the kind of interpretations that you might read in our book. So the Ace of Cups, Ace is number one, which is planting seeds and new beginnings, opportunities to start things, getting things just off the ground. And Cups is the water, so it's intuition, emotion, flowing with feeling. So the romantic interpretation for the Ace of Cups. The hand of fate offers an adventure to swim in the depths of emotion. Experiences may awaken your dreams of romance or deepen and enrich a present relationship. Optimism and faith mix with desires to help you cultivate love in the garden of your heart. So that's kind of just a little sample of interpretations for cards. So I'm feeling pulled over to that table. Is that okay? And Victor will either do readings or answer questions in front of the group.
And we're sharing tea and brownies.
Tea and brownies. And could you help with the background music?
It's fine with me. I love music.
Okay.
And there's a couple of different Ace of Cups cards.
Thank you. This is an herbal tea called Honeybush. No.
People feel like coming to the table, and if they have questions, you go over there. And if couples want to come, we'll get a second chair here. Is this agreeable? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Honeybush. Honeybush. Herbal.
Maybe that'll be
the line. Okay. Some herbal. Honeybush, would you like some?
Thank you.
Good. That is delicious tea. Thank you.